What's up, everybody? Welcome to Funeral Nation episode 262. I'm Ryan Thogmartin. We have Jeff, the Funeral Commander Harbison, and then a special guest, the one and only Paula Masters. I don't even know if we can call you a guest. You've been on this show so many times. You are our any questions we have that revolve anything legal, you're the freaking guy that we call. So introduce yourself real quick.
Hey, good to be here again. Just Paul. That's all it is. Just Paul. Just happen to have a little death care background and be a lawyer. No big deal.
Yeah, you are the CYA guy. Let's plug your book in CYA real quick. Go for it.
All right. Why not? Yeah, I literally wrote the book on Cover Your Ass, and the media, including Amazon, will even let you call it Cover Your Ass. So we've been pushing it out there. It's all for any business. If you've got a business, you have to CYA. So that's what I'm trying to teach the world. One A at a time.
I love it. I love it. All right, Paul. There are three big things happening at the federal level that impact death care right now. Can you... Yeah. Give us a rundown of those three things, and then we'll pop into it.
Yeah. So in no particular order, we have the funeral rule. We have the new non-compete rule and potentially a new junk fee rule. And those are all kind of up for grabs right now.
Okay. Let's start with the junk fee rule. What is this? This is a new one.
It is. So this is new. It's not geared at death care. It is. So first of all, junk fees. We've all gone down this road, right? You buy a concert ticket and for, you know, $75, and then you get the price and it's $112. And you're like, well, all those hidden fees that you didn't see when you bought the ticket, the government has coined those junk fees. Hotels, concert tickets, banks, utility companies, they're everywhere. So they have proposed a rule that would basically get rid of them. I mean, you would have to disclose all prices before you ever had to buy anything. This is written broadly. The way this is written right now, this rule says this would apply to any business in the United States that sells either goods or services. That's pretty broad. I feel like they're grabbing everybody under that umbrella. That's about as wide an umbrella as you can get. So what's funny about it is there are a lot of people that are like, oh my gosh, what about death care? So actually the way they wrote the junk fee rule, they actually reference the funeral rule. And they basically say the junk fee rule is just another kind of broader version of part of the funeral rule. The funeral rule was exactly written so that there'd be no hidden fees to anybody. So I always laugh at, I don't laugh. All right. But this is kind of ironic because, you know, everybody else in our profession, the number one argument we get is, nobody else has to do this. Nobody else has to explain all their prices. Nobody. Congratulations, death care. We have complained enough, and now they're going to throw an umbrella and cast a net over every business in the country. If the junk fee rule goes, you will have to disclose all your prices. Now, this doesn't say you have to put them online or hand out a price list, but you will not be able to have a contract signed unless all the prices are given to the consumer ahead of time. What does it mean? We don't know. It's in the early stages.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, as a consumer, I'm kind of like, oh, that's awesome. But I also see where it could be. I mean, although I think this kind of goes back to many conversations that we've had with you on here. If we're just like, transparency is always going to win. If we just are transparent, then it just makes it better for everybody. So
number one rule for CYA, just be transparent. And the problem with this rule right now is that consumers, the government, everybody's like, yeah, why wouldn't we have this? Like, why should there be allowed junk fees? Mm-hmm. You know, this should be a no-brainer, and that's the problem. And you know, it's the devil's in the details, right? It sounds good on paper. How will they implement it? What will businesses have to do to do? I mean, that's what we don't know, and that's the always a scary part.
Okay. All right. Well, there's one off the list. Let's go to non-competes, because this has pretty big implication on death care, just from some conversations that we've had offline.
Yeah.
Break this one down for us.
So this is another crazy, it's not that it's a crazy rule. The broadness of it is crazy, because this isn't like, okay, starting on January 1st, 2024, no more non-competes. No, this is a retroactive rule. And basically, if it goes into effect, any and all non-competes that are, could be entered into or have been entered into are void. They're done. They're gone. Now, for death care, you know, there's a few sides of this. If you're an owner, and you know, you've got salespeople or you've got employees, or you know, that's one thing. And for the rule, it's pretty clear those will be gone. You won't be allowed to do that anymore. What I see in death care is the scarier part is death care has a very special heritage legacy with names. So if I buy Thog Martin Funeral Home, I'm buying it because it's got your name on it. That's what's going to allow me to keep the business running. Now, under the rule, proposed non-compete rule, they're going to have a carve out that says if the owner is selling a business, you can have a non-compete on that owner so long as they own 25% or more. So, all right, perfect world. Ryan's the only owner. I can get a non-compete on him. And everyone's like, oh, okay, that's great. Here's why it's not great. I know Ryan's got two kids. He's got two daughters. And guess what? They got the same last name. And let's just say I write a check for Ryan. Ryan, I'm not writing you a check right now. But let's write a check for $5 million for Thog Martin Funeral Home. And then he's like, this is great. I got a non-compete on him. And then all of a sudden he goes to his daughters, hey, I have $5 million. You two should go open a funeral home down the street. I get all the money in the world to pay for it. That could happen. And that is scary. Mm-hmm. And what it's going to do is drive the value of that heritage and goodwill down, arguably could go to zero. Because why would I want to spend any money on your funeral home if I know your rest of your family can do it? Not only can your family go open up, this doesn't. We can't put it on key employees. We can't put it on managers. So there's a real problem here. You know, people spend their lives to build the name of their brand. And if they can't lock it down, because they would want to, like you would be like, look, I want to lock it down. I want the full 5 million. So that's kind of the scary part right now. We're kind of on a wait and see. I think we're waiting till about April of 24 to hear what the next move is on non-compete rule. But it's a scary one.
It is a scary one. All right. Well, I'm glad that, yeah, that's a lot to unpack. So we'll revisit back in April when you know more and we can go a little bit deeper. All right. The FTC. I feel like this is the never ending conversation that's been going on for what was that? The lamb chop sing along. It's the song that doesn't end. I feel like that is the FTC. So go give us what's new. What's new with this?
And you're right. It just never ends. I do think we are going to see something come to fruition. I actually was in DC not long ago, had a face-to-face with FTC, with some other folks. They have said that their hopes are to have something. The next steps, probably first quarter of this year. Next steps mean it would probably be a proposed rule. So, you know, we've gone through this thing where we filed comments. Then they did a fine tune and said, hey, we've got these 40 questions now, very specific. And we answered those. Then they narrowed it down. We had a workshop where they brought in industry experts, both consumer and from the profession, and narrowed it down to 5 topics. I mean, we know where they're headed. And I do think we're going to see something happen. Again, this is one of those topics where most consumers and most, here's the thing, this isn't a Democrat or Republican, like Democrats are saying we need to update the rule, Republicans are saying not, because that happens a lot. Even the Republicans that were on the commission, they were like, oh yeah, of all the things, the funeral rule should be updated. Why aren't prices online? And that's the biggest thing they want to do. They want these online prices. They want consumers to be able to shop. And, you know, it's this transparency thing. You know, unfortunately, consumers and consumer groups did all these studies over the years, and some of them recent, where they tried to call funeral homes and say, how much are funerals? And they don't get clear answers. They ask them to email them. They don't give them emails. So the problem is that there is a hiccup. And, you know, it's a low number. I'm going to sit here and tell you over and over, it is a low number. The FTC doesn't care how low it is. It should be zero. And the fact that when somebody dies, a consumer could potentially have to physically go to more than one funeral home to get pricing, they know, the FTC and consumers know what's going to happen. One, they're not going to go and leave a funeral home. So that means they're going to either overpay or whatever. So they want this transparency, the veil to be lifted. Again, business side, I think this is, you should be posting your prices online. Yeah. I mean, come on, let's get with it, right? There's no reason any good business should have all of their prices online. The problem, and what I hate, and what we're not going to get over now, is now the government is going to tell us how to do it. And that's the scary part, because now you're going to be under the microscope and they're going to say, you have to put your pricing. It's got to be at the top of the page. It's got to be pricing available in two clicks. It's got to be this size font. It's got to be available in a PDF. It's got to be available by, you know, HTML. I mean, it'll be a nightmare. And I think smaller businesses are going to suffer because of it. I don't think they're going to be able to. It's not that they won't be able to put their prices online. They won't be able to do it as well as the more sophisticated providers out there.
Well, I mean, I think too, there could be some responsibility put with some of the website providers of how to easily do this as well. I think there are some technology ways to, regardless of the size of the business, to make it easy to get to. My question is though, like, do we know if this is going to be more than just listing the GPL? Because, I mean, you know, some states require a GPL link on their site now, but you could go load a GPL, but it's like 2017 and it's like just the non-declinables. It's not everything. Yeah. So do we know anything on the capacity of what that's going to look like?
No, we don't. What we're trying to do, we have a final pitch request from the FTC. I'm a believer that, you know, you get more flies with honey, bees with honey. I never understood the flies with honey, because why would you want flies? Like,
yeah, no one wants flies.
Nobody, and you don't want bees, but you get more of them with honey anyway. What I've talked to the FTC on numerous occasions, and this isn't new, we've talked about it for years, is instead of saying throwing down the gauntlet, which they can do, and saying tomorrow everybody shall this, you know, time forward, post all their prices, full GPL, all that. I think that's strong. Mm-hmm. And what we've argued is why don't you allow people to opt in? And in other words, give us a maximum and a minimum. The minimum is maybe kind of what you're saying. Maybe it's just a range of prices. It's just a few things. And that would at least allow consumers to know, oh, hey, I can afford this place, or, oh, they offer this and they offer that. However, for anybody that opts in and puts it all out there, you know, on their own, not being forced, the FTC gives them a bit of a carrot, you know, a little bit of a dangle of, if you do that, you now have a little, not extra protection, but if you make a mistake, if we shop you and you make a mistake, but your full prices are online, we're going to give you a second opportunity to correct that. And you won't get hit right away with a $52,000 fine or having to be forced into FROP. Kind of this, almost a safe harbor provision, we call it. And I argue that if you offer that, you will have so many people that'll opt in, that everybody will be happy. And mm-hmm. and then it gives people a little kind of like, well, I wasn't forced to do it. I'm choosing. And I think that would be a nice kind of middle ground for everybody.
Sure. You know, and Paul, one of the issues I see is if you posted 10 GPLs, one next to the other, I don't think the average consumer can tell you what, based on the information there, what a funeral is going to cost. Simply because of the format and all the ins and outs and charging for this and doing for that. So, I mean, I don't think it's such a bad thing transparency-wise. My foresight into it is that the average consumer still isn't going to know how much a funeral is.
I agree. Actually, so this leads into kind of what I see as this, you know, the unintended consequences. And I think one of the biggest ones that, and we, I have no idea what will happen. If we put all the pricing online, I mean, we absolutely are going to commoditize funerals. And I don't know that the FTC or consumer groups care about that. What's going to happen, though, is as a provider, knowing that what you said, Jeff, they're not going to know the difference. So that means they're just going to go to the right side of the menu, right? They're going to look and see how much is it. You know, if I'm getting dinner and I'm looking and I see a steak is $99 at this place, $49, you know, $29 and $19 and whatever, I'm just going to say, all right, I feel like I'm going to spend $49 on a steak and that's probably decent. How do you basically show on a website your value? And to me, that's the $1 million question that businesses are going to have to figure out. It'll be a whole new game in about a year. And that's why I say the small, less sophisticated providers, they won't be able to do that.
I see that. Right. But I also see the opportunity of, and I don't think I've said this on this show before, like one of the things we preach to our clients is being best known is better than being best. Simply because everybody wants to be the best and believes that they're the best, and that's great. But the only way that somebody actually knows that you're the best is if they use your service. So being best known allows you to now be the best. And I think when it becomes a price game, it comes down to who's better known. What have you given me? What else have you given me on the website to educate me on who you are, what you do, how you do it better to justify this is what you're getting for the price. I think funeral homes are going to have to get more creative in how they position themselves online, because they're going to have to be able to justify why they may be more expensive than somebody else, which, I mean, there's easy ways to do that. It just takes being best known and visible and creating the right content.
They're going to have to be very thorough. I agree with you, and spend more equity, if you will, and explaining and actually being a more of a concierge for death in the community than, you know, just a provider.
Yeah.
Great points. Cause the last thing I'll say about this is, you know, the argument that a lot of people keep throwing out is, you know, consumers don't shop for funerals online right now. And I don't disagree with the stat. The only thing I'll say is, being devil's advocate, is it possible they're not shopping online for funerals because it's really not available to shop online for funerals? And whether I'm right or wrong about that, here's the thing. I do think that when this, if, and I'm going to say if, it probably will happen. But when consumers now realize that they can find pricing online, I think we will see a shift in consumer habits and they will start poking at it. Now, will they pick off of that? Who knows? Will it influence them? 100%. And that is where this, you know, we're going to see it's going to be a difference in that consumer. And to your point, Ryan, Jeff, businesses are going to have to be more thorough. They're going to have a better presence, not just on their website, but in the community, more than they've ever had to before.
Yeah. That's
right. They may even have to explain why the basic service charge applies for burial consumers, but not for cremation consumers. I just said that out loud, but anyway, that'll be a whole new spectrum for you there, Paul.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting.
Well, Paul, I have one more question that's, yeah, that I think is a positive on all of this. And you've been to DC with a bunch of other funeral professionals. I feel like this conversation is actually helping unite the profession as a collective. Do you get that sense?
I do. You know, it's, you know, everybody knows that everybody's in business against each other, right? And that goes as far as, you know, state associations, national associations, funeral homes, cemeteries across the board. But yeah, we were able to unite a lot of the largest providers, all of the national associations. And what we discovered is we were all really on the same page when it came to the changes. You know, everybody kind of had that same initial, don't really want to see it change. However, it was going to change. You know, we went through a list of, you know, basically 15 points, and we agreed on all of those. So we've had a united voice on this topic, which has been kind of great to see. And, awesome. You know, hopefully we can continue to do that. You know, I'll sit here and say it's not that it was too late. You know, we've done this for years, you know, but, you know, maybe it'll carry over though into some other activities.
Be great. What's the timeline on all of this? Is there one?
Yeah. If you go back to everything, well, FTC, what they've said is probably by first quarter, they'll take the next step. So if that played out and let's say it was the end, it was March, you know, that they have a proposed rule. That means we'd have probably 60 days to comment. So that's April, May. Then they could say it's final by, you know, anywhere from June to July. And then that means, you know, they could say, we're going to give you 6 months to kind of get it together. So we could see this possibly all be done, wrapped up in the new rule by January 1st, 2025. So I think there's a year. There's still some things that have to happen. Nothing's quick. And that's barring, you know, anything else. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could happen in between. You know, we got an election that might come right at the end. I do think that they're going to try, they being the FTC and the powers that be, I think they could try to get something like this through next year while they kind of, not that they have control, but they just have an easier time with it.
Sure. Okay. Well, Paul, it is always a pleasure and an honor to have you on the Funeral Nation show. Man, you always bring the goods. Thank you for your transparency and all your time breaking this stuff down for us. And if anybody's got, funeral homes have questions, they're trying to navigate all of this, how can they connect with you? And we do have a broader audience sometimes that watches this outside of death care, and you're not just a death care guy. So,
I try to CYA every business out there. So, Paul at lemastersconsulting.com, P-O-U-L, not a typo, just a crazy fun family from Denmark.
Just the right way to spell it. I mean, that's it. Everybody else is wrong.
So. That's what I tell them.
All right, Paul. Thank you so much, sir.
Paul, thank you, sir.
Hey, Jeff, Ryan, thanks for having me once again. Have good holidays, all that stuff. Appreciate being here.
Thank you.
You too, friend. Thank you for your everybody. Work.
Until next time, out here.
Out here.
Cheers. Have a great effing week.